The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation, Part 2. Now, it would be self-serving for me to talk about the fact that the most unexpected upset in radio history occurred yesterday when it was announced that I won the National Radio Hall of Fame Award. I mean, I overcame all the cartels in the business. A business insider sent me an email who was in the Hall of Fame. He's in the management side. He said, it's the most unexpected award ever. No one could believe you would have overcome all the odds. So I wanted to say thank you. Now, I guess I shouldn't talk again about winning the Radio Hall of Fame Award. Like all the rest of the so-called conservative, fair-minded constitutionalists out there who's, I mean, they're so fair and they're so on one team that none of them mentioned it. But it's worth mentioning again for those of you who missed it yesterday, and you can go to WorldNet Daily or MichaelSavage.com. I read the article. I'm not going to talk about it much. But I was, I won the award, and I'll be there in November to talk about borders, language, and culture. I put it up on my website, and I put it up on Facebook, and 851,799 people were reached through the article. That's an enormous amount of people, which shows you that the power of the internet is where radio is going. It shows you, yeah, of course, the majority of the audience is still heard on the stations. I get that. But the younger people are listening on devices, and apparently they voted. Now, I was going to talk about the Black Panther stuff today, and I was going to ask you, should Black Lives Matter be closed down as a terrorist group? The answer is, of course they should be. Because whether all of them are overtly wanting terror or all of them want to kill police is irrelevant. What is relevant is what Black Lives Matter is, in fact, producing in this country. And it's not producing a healing of the races. It's producing the opposite, and it's producing the death of cops. So I was going to talk about that one. And I guess you could talk about it if you want. The first Miss Black Alabama. First Black Miss Alabama calls the Dallas cop killer a martyr. I could not believe the hatred that is in the hearts of so many people. Again, I have to tell you, I grew up in a racially divided New York City. There was less hatred in New York then than there is now. I have never seen such hatred in America since the 1960s, but in some ways it's even worse. Because the hatred in America in the 1960s, fomented by Barack Obama's friends like Bill Ayers, Students for a Democrat Society, so-called, all hardcore communists who would like to kill 30 million Americans or put them in death camps or re-education camps. Read their own literature if you think I'm making it up. They wanted to kill 30 million Americans to re-educate, to reorganize, to, let us say, transform America. Well, now they have the ears of the president and the attorney general and all of the others in the administration who are turning a blind eye to what they've done to this country, or are they? I had black teachers. I never knew about such hatred. I had no idea it was under the surface. First, Miss Black of Alabama calls Dallas cop killer a martyr. I read that. Then I read other stuff that's coming up from the surface, from the subterranean depths. I mean, not from to the surface, from the subterranean depths. And I'm saying this is a very bad time, and it was fomented by Barack, who is right now in Dallas giving a fake eulogy for the dead cops. You know, it's classic revolutionary rhetoric. You foment a riot, and then you go out like the peacemaker. He's an expert at this. But, you know, not all of us are buying this con man's act anymore. Most of us aren't. Here's another one for those of you who think this is going to go well. So-called new Black Panther Party will be armed during the Republican National Committee protests. The chairman of the new Black Panther Party, a so-called Black Power movement, said his group will carry arms for self-defense during protests at the RNC convention in Ohio. Hashim Zynga, chairman of the new Black Panther Party, told Reuters in an interview, blah, 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 blah. They're going to carry weapons there. Other groups affiliated with the new Black Panthers are going to join in a Black Unity protest that is scheduled to be held on Thursday in Cleveland. Obama has gotten exactly what he's wanted. Burn, baby, burn. Bring it all down, man. That's what's coming. Wait until you see what happens in Cleveland when they unleash these terrorist groups on the Republican National Committee. These are not protesters. You go to a protest armed. Are you a protester or are you looking to kill somebody under the guise of self-defense? You know what's going to happen. And the police, of course, have been put into a corner by the vermin in the media. I have to use the word vermin because they are like lice for what they've done to this country. They have fomented the hatred. They have fomented the race war. They fomented every burning and killing of every cop, justifying it by the thugs who killed them. And you have to ask yourself, are they not human themselves, these girls and boys in the media? Do they not ride on the streets and recognize that without the police, they'd be pulled out of their car and they would be beaten to death by the mobs, as was done in South Africa? Do I have to remind you what happened in South Africa during the riots when people were killed simply because they were white? Do you remember that? Is that what you want in this country, all of you good liberals who've been brainwashed in America to believe that every black male who was incarcerated is an innocent victim and every black male who was shot by a cop is an innocent man being hunted by the Ku Klux Klan in blue? Are you people that insane? But having exposed what I really feel inside about these matters, I think I want to talk about sex in nursing homes. I know it's a shift. But because there's an article today in the New York Times, too old for sex, question mark, not at this nursing home. And I'm looking at the pictures, and I don't understand this at all. People with walkers making it with each other? People with transfusion trees swinging in the bed? I don't get this. Because of Viagra, this is a sexual revolution in nursing homes now? The Hebrew home, of course, the Hebrew home at Riverdale. I knew it would have to be the Hebrew home at Riverdale. Oversexed people in the Hebrew home at Riverdale held a senior prom in May. The Bronx home has stepped up its efforts to help residents find relationships, like starting a dating service called G-Date for Grandparent Date. How do you look at a thing like this? And how do you look at a thing like this? What do you make of it? Hebrew home at Riverdale. I was there once. I visited someone whose father was there about 30 years ago. It was a nice place. I had no idea that they were doing it like mink. They were running like minks behind the scenes here. I mean, what do you say? Don't do it? 85 years old, she said. I enjoyed it and he was a very good lover. I don't even want to read this. But I am reading it because it's a social event going on in the midst of the hatred and the rioting. People are still wanting to have sex at 85. They don't even know what's going on outside the nursing home walls. Well, listen to this. Mrs. Davidson is among older Americans who are having intimate relations well into their 70s and 80s, helped in some cases by Viagra. Okay, I don't know, is this a good thing at 88 in a nursing home? Audrey Davidson, 85, said the last thing she ever expected was to find the love of her life in a nursing home. She met Leonard Mooch in the elevator. Leonard Mooch in the elevator. All right, look, what could you say but good luck to him? You know, I guess it's a reason to get up and put on makeup. But there's no jokes you could tell. Sex is out of control now, I think. It's become the only reason to live. Maybe that's the analysis I'm trying to get at. And if there's no other reason to live, if you have no higher purpose, and you've been raised even at 88 as a pure narcissist in America, I guess the only thing you can look forward to is sex. Wouldn't the Hebrew home for the aged have anything to do with religion? Doesn't the word Hebrew have anything to do with it? Wouldn't that be a Jewish orientation, something with the Bible? Yeah, right. That's what they're going there for, the Bible. All right, look, I think I've covered that. I know what you want to cover, which is Black Lives Matter and the race relations in America. I get it. They've never been worse in my whole lifetime. And I have to tell you again and again and again, I only have my own experience in America going back a couple of decades. I said America was racially separated when I grew up. There's no question about it. But some other races got along better. And I will say again, when I was a little kid, well, a kid, teenager, I went up to Harlem. That was a black neighborhood at the time. The Apollo Theater had a rock and roll show in 1955 with Alan Freed, the disc jockey, spinning the records. We were all crazy about rock and roll. Alan Freed was the man. He was to rock and roll what I am to talk radio. And it was all black and white in the auditorium. No one heard it. When the music came on, the kids, black and white together, jumped up screaming and dancing in the aisles. Then when it ended, all the white kids I was with, we all left together high as a kite on the music. No one used drugs. No one was drunk. No one snorted anything. And we walked in the streets of Harlem to the subway to go home. No black gangs attacked us. No white gangs attacked blacks. How is it that the world has degenerated so rapidly after the first so-called black president? The answer is because his blackness has little to do with his politics. His politics are not that of a black man. His politics are that of a radical man. And so radicals do what radicals do, which is divide a nation in order to aggrandize more power. This is the Savage Nation. That's the opening. It's a sort of mixture of things. If you want to talk about any of this stuff, whether it be race relations, my winning the, despite all odds, overcoming all obstacles, the long shot, the underdog, number 22 in the field comes out number one, the most unexplained, unexpected upset in radio history, and you don't see it on Fox News. A pimp shows up, a black murderer is put on the Kelly Show, but not the winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame. They don't even say that it happened. What does that tell you? It's because one of theirs was running against me and they thought he was a shoo-in. That's number one. He was a member of the most powerful media cartel in conservative American history. In fact, in media history. That cartel controls television, radio, publishing, magazines, and they put up one of theirs and he lost. So they don't want to recognize that he lost, and so they're going to make believe I don't exist. But hey, I exist. And I want to thank all you again for voting me, and it's important to me. And I do feel I'm obligated to say what I'm saying. I got to get it out of my system. A friend of mine wrote this to me. I know I'm going back to college days. He and I become friendly again. We weren't for years because his politics were the opposite of mine. And to boot, he's a lawyer. And to boot, he's a class action lawyer. So I didn't want to talk to him. And he knew how I felt about all those things. But as a person, I like the guy a lot. And he actually loves me. And you know what? We transcend politics because he knew my mother and father. He knew my whole family. So how do you not like someone like that? I love the guy in a way. He's older now. And he wrote this to me. He said, "Hey, Savage, I am absolutely thrilled that you received the Hall of Fame award. You deserve it 1,000%. It is more than amazing you were chosen in the face of all the BS establishment adversity. You're by far the best on talk radio because you are a visionary, as you have been all your adult life. No one can say you did not do it your way. Thank you very much, S. I appreciate that." I'll have more to say about that a little later on, not about my award, but about something about the visionary part of it, going back to when I was an 18-year-old in college. I had no idea that I was different than the other guys. He's been explaining to me. I don't know how to put this without no one knows it, so I could say it. He's kind of sick right now, and he tells me he only has a short term left on Earth, okay? Now, he doesn't look it, but he tells me that that's what's going on. So we've gotten closer and closer and closer because I'm reaching out. I mean, you know, hey, that's what does it. And he says to me, "You don't recognize that when you were 17, 18, when we were in college together, you were different than the rest of us. Yes, you had a ducktail haircut. Yes, you had a leather jacket. Yes, you drove crazy sports cars. Yes, you love to smoke cigarettes and drive with the top down. Yes, you were wilder than everybody. But underneath it all, we all knew that you were different than us. You were a visionary." I said, "Well, no one, I don't know it. How do you walk around? I'm Mr. Visionary." He said, no, "You're always far thinking. You wrote essays in college, like an essay on Martin Buber's I and Thou that was, you know about that one? You know, in college, they take essays that you submit, and then the kids steal it and pass it around. They put their name on it. My essay on the analysis of Martin Buber's I and Thou in Queens College was the most copied essay in the history of Queens College. I found it out years later. Everyone used it. They put their own name on it. I don't even remember I and Thou right now. All I remember is that the clock is ticking and I have to take a quick break."
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Turn it off. I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood for the Beatles. I know that Obama just gave the most hateful speech of his entire life. People are emailing me. They cannot believe what he just did. I can. I know who he is. They said, when you hear what he said, and we'll play it in a few minutes, you will start screaming. The devil in the White House started off with total respect for the dead officers and then turned to talking about the killing of blacks by cops, how America cannot ignore the racism that is still here, how guns must be limited if you want the killing to stop. He talks about how respect of the suffering of Jim Crow, racism must be acknowledged. This is in 2016 from a spoiled, rotten kid whose grandparents prevented him from even having a newspaper route. He never washed dishes like I did. He never delivered newspapers like I did. He never worked in the summers as a waiter or busboy as I did. He was a spoiled, rotten kid whose grandparents, white grandparents, took care of him. The skids were greased for him from the get-go. And now he can do nothing but talk about Jim Crow and racism. And then he talked about how black lives language of killing cops has to stop. But he says it should stop not because it's wrong, but because it's hurting their argument. This is at a funeral service for five fallen officers. You know, if the devil himself were alive and well, he couldn't have done more damage to America, America's race relations in specific, in this case, than this man has done and is doing. He's trying to foment an outright revolution in this country. He's conducted a revolution within the military. He has it totally under control. He has purged the military of thousands and thousands of officers who have either left because of the racial and sexual bias against them or outright thrown them out of the military. Yes, I cover it in my forthcoming book, Labor Day, Scorched Earth. Shoot me for it, for mentioning it. Excuse me, someone else is going to mention my book? Like those who mentioned that I won the Radio Hall of Fame Award? You're going to tune in the other shows, the great constitutionalists? All the conservatives who wrap themselves in the flag? They're just like everybody else, greedy, self-aggrandizing phonies through and through. And I'll say it, I'm sick of it. There is no community of conservatives in the media. Make no mistake about it. Everyone's out for themselves. That's what the truth is. So stop living in a dream world that somehow the conservatives are better than the liberals. They're no different.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
And while some suffer far more under racism's burden, some feel to a far greater extent discrimination stink. Although most of us do our best to guard against it and teach our children better, none of us is entirely innocent. No institution is entirely immune. And that includes our police departments. We know this.
Oh, boy. You know, if there were a crime against inciting hatred, if there were a crime about crossing state lines to incite a riot, Obama would be arrested immediately for what he just did in Dallas. Why the entire police department didn't turn their backs on him and walk out, I'll never understand. And how any cop or any wife of a cop or a child of a cop could ever vote for a Democrat again is beyond me. They are not your friend, they are your enemy. They'd like to see you stripped of your badge, if not beaten and killed in the streets. You think I'm making a statement that's not true? Read the policy positions of the Democrat Party under Hillary Clinton, and you'll see how police will fare. But this is not about who you should vote for. This is about the danger we are in because of this hateful man in the White House and how he must be chastised by myself and everyone in this country until he shuts his stinking mouth. You know, the best statement on this was written by a black man, an educator, author, orator, advisor to the presidents of the U.S. between 1890 and 1915, when race relations were not really very good. His name was Booker T. Washington. He was the leader in the African-American community at the time, and he's a great man. And I'm looking for a statement he made. By the way, he was from the last generation of black American leaders actually born into slavery, and he became the leading voice of the former slaves and their descendants. And the blacks at that time were newly oppressed in the South by disenfranchisement and the Jim Crow laws. But the Jim Crow laws are long dead, yet Obama keeps referring to them. Why does Obama keep referring to them? Because if you read Animal Farm, you'll find the answer. Animal Farm was about these socialists who were rising in the 1930s and the games they were playing with the people, the masses of people, to get them to buy into the socialist lie. It was written by George Orwell, one of my favorite college books, Animal Farm. And he presents a farm that is run by a farmer, of course, and then the animals stage a revolution. They take over the farm, and they scream, freedom, 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 freedom. And before you know it, the animals, the pigs, are putting on the clothing of the farmer, and they're marching around and oppressing the other animals, all in the name of advancement. He saw what socialism is. Don't you see what socialism is? It's leading us to the guillotines. Now, I've studied the French Revolution in great detail, and I've spoken about it over the years. Once that blade starts falling, it doesn't stop. It has an unlimited thirst for blood. Those are rich words, but they're mine. Once the blade of revolution starts falling, it is never satisfied. There's no limit to the amount of blood thirst it has. Oh, in the beginning, the revolutionaries all celebrate as they kill the opponents of the revolution. And then when there's no one left for the guillotine to kill in the opposition because they've all been killed, the blades still keep falling. And who do they fall upon? Look at the Cuban Revolution under the communist dictator Fidel Castro. Obama's a good friend to the South. Who did Castro soon kill after he killed off all of the so-called oppositions? He killed the, quote, counter-revolutionaries who fought besides him in the Sierra Madre. He killed his own cohorts. The guillotine kept falling. It needed new heads. It needed new blood. So the monster Fidel Castro could get up and give eight-hour speeches about the evils of the counter-revolutionaries. Did the blade stop falling then? No. They keep falling and falling and falling until there's no one left, no one's heads left to cut off. I'm warning all of you listening to this show. If you think that this Black Lives Matter, the new Black Panthers, are not the bloodthirsty revolutionaries that those in the French Revolution were under Robespierre, then you know nothing about history. I've studied revolutions for many years, since I'm a kid, 18. And I'm telling you what you're witnessing under this revolutionary liar in the White House is nothing short of a revolution. I've told you this for years. I try to warn you about it in Government Zero. Many of you picked up the book and read it. And I'm telling you again, as I told you 6 months ago, if you think the damage that Barry has done so far is terrible, and believe me, it's really bad, I said, you wait until the summer and you'll see what he's really going to do. You wait and see how evil this man truly is and what a demon he truly is. If you think he's going to stop, you're mistaken. He is not going to stop. He's going to escalate his hatred. He's going to fan the flames of race war. He won't stop, my friends, until Congress steps in and stops this madman. That's what I say. And I don't know what else to say to you. Read, did you find that thing, a Booker T. Washington, that great statement? I'll paraphrase it because I remember it. And that is, he said that there's a certain class of black people in America who continuously must have a grievance. Right? Did you email it to me? That's what you mean? I have to quote him exactly. Robert Borowski quote. Here. Here it is. There is another class of colored people, he wrote, who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. If that doesn't define Jesse High Jackson, Al Gutter Rat Sharpton, Barry the race hater Obama, Loretta the liar Lynch, who does it describe? I know these are harsh words, I get it, but these are harsh times. And the only thing that can counter this is anger right now. Real rage. We better stand up or we're going to be knocked down. I'm warning you. If they take down the thin blue line and replace them with gangbangers, what the hell do you think you're going to have in this country? Can you imagine the Dallas police chief reaching out to the scum of the earth in the gutters, drug dealers, and telling them to join the Dallas police force? They can't speak English, half of them. How are they going to be a policeman? Where are the standards in Dallas going to come from? You're going to give them guns, clubs, and a badge?
And you're going to expect them to conduct themselves in a rational way when their whole lives are irrational and violent and criminal?
This is what's happening in America because of Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, Bill de Blasio, and others. You can fill in the names. And all of them, by the way, are doing very well indeed. Eric Holder ran off to another great job in the corporate legal world. Jay Johnson, Department of Homeland Security, came from Wall Street as a lawyer and makes believe he's an oppressed black. Had the nerve to give a speech, Jay Johnson, that he too had problems as a youngster with the law and being pulled over. God, does it get any lower than these people? Tell me how it could get lower than these people. Tell me. You know, on the other side, if the Ku Klux Klan took over this country and elected a president who was as silk smooth as Obama, who every day went out of his way to give a smiling little speech and every day gave a dig into the heart of black people, tell me what this country would be like, because that's what you have. And you have to reverse it to understand what we have. We have a revolution with the equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan running this country on the other side of the aisle, because they are as racist as the Ku Klux Klan. They don't stop with their hatred. They don't let it go. They don't unite the races. They divide the races, and it's got to stop. Now, I'll put myself out on the edge of the diving board here today. Pull out all the stops again. Open up the organ. There's nothing I can do. I can't take it anymore. You have more of Obama? Listen to this. Listen to this devil speaking today at a funeral for five dead officers, using it as an opportunity to again foment hatred in the country. Listen carefully.
And so when African Americans from all walks of life, from different communities across the country, voice a growing despair over what they perceive to be unequal treatment.
Here we go again.
When study after study shows that whites and people of color experience the criminal justice system differently.
You are a liar, you stinking liar, you!
Or searched or arrested.
You are a liar! You're a race hater, you should be arrested for what you're doing. The exact opposite is true. Those who study these things. The exact opposite is true. He's a liar. He's looking to provoke a bloody revolution in this country. The myths of Black Lives Matter by Heather McDonald says it all. She did the analysis. Because apparently Black Lives Matter has convinced Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and all of the other low-life Democrats and fake progressives that there's an epidemic of racist white police officers killing young black men. But she writes, what if the BLM movement is based on fiction? Not just the fictional account of the 2014 police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, but the total misrepresentation of police shootings generally. To listen to Barack Obama, you would say that killer cops pose the biggest threat to young black men today. But she says it's totally wrong. And she cites the liberal Washington Post, which gathered data on fatal police shootings over the past year and a half. And she tried to publish this. Would you like to hear the truth? Play a little bit more of the race hater before I read the truth. Play a little bit more of this hater at the funeral today.
When mothers and fathers raise their kids right, and have the talk about how to respond if stopped by a police officer. Yes, sir. No, sir.
Her, turn it off. I really can't listen
to it. But still
to
fear.
You know, I woke up today dreaming of the day we never have to hear his crazy voice again. When will he ever go back and disappear into the swamp he came out of? Here's the truth, Barry, from Heather McDonald, as quoting the Washington Post, you know, one of your friends at the Washington Post, they actually gathered real data on police killings, Barry. And here's what they found. In 2015, police killed 662 whites and Hispanics and 258 blacks. The overwhelming majority of all those police shooting victims were attacking the officer, often with a gun, Barry. Using the 2014 homicide numbers as an approximation of 2015's, those 662 white and Hispanic victims of police shootings would make up 12% of all white and Hispanic homicide deaths. That is three times the proportion of black deaths that result from police shootings. The lower proportion of black deaths due to police shootings can be attributed to the lamentable black-on-black homicide rate. There were 6,095 black homicide deaths in 2014, compared with 5,397 homicide deaths for whites and Hispanics combined. And almost all of those black homicide deaths, Barry, had black killers, Barry. Police officers of all races are also disproportionately endangered by black assailants, Barry.
Over the past 10 years, according to FBI data, Barry, 40% of cop killers have been black, Barry. Officers are killed by blacks, Barry, at a rate 2.5 times higher than the rate at which blacks are killed by police. I could read the rest of it. This is trying to show you what a liar the president is, and how he's quoting fake statistics. When even the Washington Post shows the exact opposite of what the shyster in the White House has said. This is getting worse by the day. The corruption of Barack Obama knows no limits. Knows no limits. Now, I'm going to throw out a question now for the audience. Over the last 10 or 15 years, maybe 20 years, there's been a growing black middle class. I would like to know how the black middle class thinks this is good for them in America today. A growing middle class where we have a black president, a black attorney general, black DHS, wherever you turn, the whole government. Then you have a black middle class in the business world. How could they be celebrating these street thugs? How could these street thugs be good for them raising their children in this country? And where are they? Why are they not speaking out about this race hater in the White House? I'll be back to take your calls.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
With an open heart, police departments will acknowledge that just like the rest of us, they're not perfect. That insisting we do better to root out racial bias is not an attack on cops, but an effort to live up to our highest ideals.
You low piece of garbage. I can't take it. How do they applaud this garbage? Let me quote again Booker T. Washington, a great black man. He said this, not me. And he was talking about Sharpton, Jackson, Obama. He says there is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they're able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. If ever there was an example of whom Mr. Booker T. Washington, prophet and writer, was referring to, it would be Barry Obama, the most racially divisive politician on the national stage in my lifetime, if not entire lifetime since Reconstruction. He gets away with it because of the weakness of the minds that are in the media and the weakness of the minds that are in the electorate. I can take some calls, and I will in the next hour, and then I want to talk about the election. And then I want to talk about other things. I want to talk about the revolution that you're witnessing in front of your eyes and what is going to happen in this country, in my mind, unless Congress stands up and forcefully shuts this man's mouth. He has freedom of speech, but running the country from the bully pulpit does not give him the right to yell fire in a crowded movie theater. Obama is yelling fire in a crowded theater. He is violating the tenets of the First Amendment. He can be censured. He can be stopped. They can stop him tomorrow for what he's doing at this funeral, what he did at this funeral. But then I read Animal Farm, and I read what happened a long time ago. I read what will happen a long time ago, because I studied the French Revolution. I watched the movie Burn with Marlon Brando many years ago, and when Barry won the presidency, and I heard the first things out of his mouth for the first month, him and his wonderful first lady, I knew what was coming. And you've seen nothing yet. Go get a copy of Burn with Marlon Brando if you want to see what might happen if this man is not censured by Congress. And if you say it can't happen here and I'm an alarmist, I pity you. If you want to just go watch a bunch of goons throwing basketballs, I pity you even more. This is the Savage Nation. I know you're going to be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And while some suffer far more under racism's burden, some feel to a far greater extent discrimination sting. Although most of us do our best to guard against it, and teach our children better, none of us is entirely innocent. No institution is entirely immune. And that includes our police departments. We know this.
This is at the funeral of five dead cops. This race baiter, a man who has gotten everywhere in life through manipulating hatred, making believe he's a peacemaker. He did it today, this morning, at the funeral for five dead police, all executed by a crazed black man. Now, I want to go back again for a minute, then I'm going to take your calls, because you've got a lot to say. People are fuming over this. Booker T. Washington, great man. When he was coming up, and he was born a slave, by the way, he created the Tuskegee machine. And In 1909, Booker T. Washington was actually criticized by the leaders of the new NAACP, especially W.E.B. Du Bois, who said that he should have a stronger tone of protest for the advancement of civil rights. Du Bois wanted more militancy. But listen to what Washington said. Booker T. said that confrontation would lead to disaster for the outnumbered blacks in society, and that cooperation with supportive whites was the only way to overcome pervasive racism in the long run. I rest my case right there. The confrontation that is being fostered by Obama through his street troops, the street thugs I warned you about and stopped the coming civil war, in, name the group, fill in the blank. They're his street army. Is that going to bring peace to the society? Is that bringing cooperation with supportive whites? Or is that going to alienate even the liberal wobblies out there who think that they're on your side? Think very carefully before you go down that road, because what you will provoke with your hatred, well, let's put it to you this way. If you play with the winds, or if you sow the winds, you shall reap the whirlwind. Very eloquently stated. No one said it ever said it any better. The Bible. That's why so many great novels have titles from the Bible. Many great novels have titles from the Bible. I can name five of them. That's where I got the title to A Time for War. A number of years ago, I had to search the Bible because so many great titles that I read as a kid, East of Eden, many, many titles came right out of the Bible. If you sow the wind, you shall reap the whirlwind. Right now, Obama's sowing the wind. Does he not know he's going to reap the whirlwind? That's exactly what he wants. On the eve of the Republican National Convention, he's sowing the wind. He wants a whirlwind in Cleveland. He wants a whirlwind in November. He's created the whirlwind in the Middle East. He has single-handedly destroyed the entire social order of the European Union. He has flooded Europe with Muslim males of military age, almost no women and no children. He has flooded them with African Muslims. Men, no children, no women to speak of. England finally slammed the door shut. They said, no, we're not going to be overrun and give up our sovereignty. We're not going to be overrun by Muslims and by Africans. Enough is enough. That's what it was about. It was all about this. Now, this man is trying to do the opposite to us. He's trying to use a guilt trip. White guilt works very well. This is why most whites are afraid to say one word about what they know to be true. They've been brainwashed for so many years. So they have white guilt. So they elect the lowest of the possible candidates to the presidency twice now. And look what they're getting as a result. And again, I have to say how any cop, any cop's wife, any cop's children could ever vote for Hillary is beyond my wildest imagination. And I mean black cops, white cops, Hispanic cops, Asian cops. How could you ever vote for anyone like this in a skirt or a pantsuit? Because she's as anti-police as he is. Why? She doesn't hate police or love police. She just knows that she wants the black vote. Right now, they're pandering to the worst element of the African-American community. They are pandering to the lowest common denominator, not the highest common denominator, if you know what I'm saying. Now, let me take some calls. That's what I want to do right now. Let's start with Reggie on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Reggie, go ahead and make your point, please. I will say nothing.
So I am actually a middle-class African-American, and I think that some of the concerns that I also have family and law enforcement, my point is that as an African-American who actually is middle-class, some of their concerns actually are very germane to me. I've actually had a few run-ins with law enforcement because my father had a nice car growing up. I would drive out to certain parts of the surrounding area. I've had more than a few occasions where I was pulled over and was harassed. Luckily, my father, being in law enforcement, I knew what to do. He had to talk with me.
No, what do you mean by harassed? Tell me what you mean by harassed.
Well, at one point, I was in Montgomery County in Rockville. I was removed from my vehicle, had my vehicle searched. I was on the ground. I had two officers draw their firearms.
Really? And what was it that they did this for? Simply because of your race?
They said that I made a turn that was illegal, but I was on Rockville Pike, if anybody knows. There's quite a few lanes that turn.
Well, these things happen, man. I'm a white guy, and I was pulled over by two Hispanic police in San Rafael, California, a number of years ago for a minor infraction. And when I said to them, I remember their names to this day, I am licensed to carry a weapon, which you have to tell because you wind up getting killed otherwise. They dragged me out of the car and they put me up against the fence. What should I say? It was racial?
Well, the situation is that, again, there's been more than a few instances where I've had white friends of mine who...
But you didn't hear a word I just said.
Again, I did. And I think that anytime there's anecdotal evidence, it's hard to prove. And I think that's where you're...
But again, you didn't hear what I just said. I'm not black. I'm white. And two Hispanics pulled me out of the car and put me up against the fence when I was perfectly in my legal right to carry that weapon and disclose it to the cops. Why did they pull me out? Because they're two dumb morons. That's why. And racist at that. Did I sue the department? No, I let it go. I let it go. Maybe you ought to learn to let it go for the betterment of society.
First, you said you let me make my point without talking.
Well, you did make your point. I didn't know you were going to get up there with the crybaby grievance thing again, that you're black, you're pulled over, you didn't do anything wrong, and there's racism in society. Well, what else are you going to say that we haven't heard before?
Well, if you want to listen, if you don't...
I did listen, but you haven't said anything beyond that. What else would you like to say? Go, you got 20 seconds.
I have nothing else to say. God
all right, thank you very much. I didn't think so. Another grievance call. That's all. Another grievance call. Well, okay, get rid of the thin blue line, see what society is like. Pull nobody over who goes into a good neighborhood, who looks suspicious for any reason. And see what happens in those, quote, good neighborhoods to all of the lily white people who are so liberal. See what happens. Just see what happens. My friends, this is a bad time in America, and it's being made worse, not better, by the president. Do you have another soundbite from the funeral we can play, Robert? Well, let's hear what he said later on during the eulogy at Animal Farm Dallas.
Whether you are black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or of Middle Eastern descent, we have all seen this bigotry in our own lives at some point.
Here we go again. Here we go. All right, turn it off.
We heard it.
This is at a funeral. This is at a funeral. It's right out of Animal Farm. You have to read Animal Farm to understand what I am saying to you. Animal Farm was written by George Orwell, who had been a socialist in the 30s. And then when he saw the dangers of fascism emerging in the socialists of the 30s, he became an anti-communist, an anti-socialist. He saw what they were. They were liars. They were thieves. They were self-aggrandizing thieves using socialism as a weapon to basically rob the treasury and aggrandize power. That's exactly what he was talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I'll take some calls again on this. I don't even have a category for what I'm looking at. Maybe I'll just cool it off for a minute now and go in another direction, just for a second while you're calling. Someone sent me this. Here's a beautiful one. Former prosecutor sues Obama and Al Sharpton for inciting a race war. A former federal prosecutor, this is from the Daily Caller, has sued President O, the founders of BLM, Al Sharpton, Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, and former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder for inciting a race war that led to the fatal Dallas police shootings. The federal class action lawsuit filed Saturday in Dallas accuses the defendants of aiding and abetting murder, terrorist promotion of gang activity and civil rights violations of law enforcement officers. It seeks damages of more than $2 billion. These defendants have incited violence and, in fact, have a direct link to what happened in Dallas, said Larry Klayman, who worked in the Department of Justice during the Reagan administration and later founded the conservative advocacy groups Judicial Watch and Freedom Watch. He said, "I hope that law enforcement in Dallas and around the nation will join our class action. It's a peaceful legal means to fight this. We've had it. People are finally starting to speak out." The case has been assigned to Judge Sam A. Lindsay, a Clinton appointee, who is also African-American. None of the defendants responded for comment except for DOJ spokesperson Nicole Navas, who said, well, no comment. The complaint said, the defendants have publicly incited people to violence with the fiction that police officers and other law enforcement are intentionally and systematically targeting and hunting blacks and other minorities to kill them for no reason other than racism or sport, the complaint said. Defendants have called for a civil war targeting police officers of all races for immediate violence and severe bodily injury or death in response to that non-existent and fictitious threat. Defendants are encouraging disaffected blacks and black Muslims to ignore, disrespect, and assault law enforcement officials and commit violence and lethal force, the lawsuit said. On July 7th, former U.S. Army reservist Micah Johnson shot a dozen Dallas police officers, killing five, during a rally to protest the police killings of two black men the previous week. Dallas Police Chief David Brown later told reporters he's a suspect said he was upset about Black Lives Matter. He said he was upset about the recent shootings. He wanted to kill white people, especially white officers. But while the defendants, spearheaded by Obama, blame police and non-minorities for fanning tensions that lead to violence, statistics show that the murder rate has steadily been increasing across America during Obama's tenure, the complaint said. Much of this crime involves black-on-black violence in communities that are primarily black. The 52-page complaint chronicles detailed accusations against each defendant, including Obama and Holder met many times with Al Sharpton, president of the National Action Network, and leaders of Black Lives Matter over plans to change government policies regarding police officers. Obama made the statement, well, he quotes the statement about racism again. Farrakhan, leader of the Nation of Islam, he called for active duty black military members to come home and lead a national insurrection against society. In 2014, he spoke to a crowd of 2,000 calling for revenge in Ferguson, Missouri. A year later, he told a Florida church to stalk them and kill them, pertaining to Jews and Caucasians as a 400-year-old enemy. Black Lives Matter leaders Rashad Turner, Opie Tometi, Patrice Cullors, Alicia Garza, and D. Ray McKisson inflamed racial tensions after Ferguson to the point that Texas Sheriff's Deputy Darren Goforth was murdered at a gas station by a black man in 2015. Several days later, BLM led a march in St. Paul chanting, "Pigs in a blanket, fry him like bacon." The defendants have appeared on radio asking for followers to turn the tide and kill white people and cops to send the message. Now, I can go on with this article. It's a phenomenal article, and it came up today in the Daily Caller. Foreign prosecutor has now sued Obama and Al Sharpton for inciting a race war. You can actually read this in the Daily Caller, which I'll link on michaelsavage.com. And I really take my hat off to Larry Klayman, because he must use the courts to try to bring the races together and stop these race haters. He's got to stop them, or they'll burn the society to the ground. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Why should a group that espouses violence be permitted to be armed during the RNC protests? Welcome back to the show. The chairman of the violent New Black Panther Party said his group will carry weapons for self-defense, so-called, during protests at the RNC next week. Hashim Zynga, chairman of the New Black Panther Party, told Reuters in an interview that he's going to bring guns. Now, why would the federal government permit this organization, which espouses separation of the races, violence, and they couch it, but they espouse violence, Why would they let them to? Why would they let them do that? Where's the Department of Homeland Security? Isn't Jay Johnson's job to protect our homeland and create some security? Where are the DHS agents who are armed to the teeth with all those billions of bullets that they bought? What are they saving them for? Go in and arrest them. Don't let them bring their arms and don't let them march with their weapons. Because they're looking to provoke a civil unrest that will evolve into some kind of mayhem, a conflagration that could burn half the city down. Zynga said he expected a couple hundred members of the NBP party to join a Black Unity protest that is scheduled to be held on Thursday in Cleveland. That's coming up this Thursday. Great. That is just terrific. What a country we're in, with the president going to a funeral where five lay dead, and instead of conducting himself with any dignity and putting aside politics for 1 second, he uses an Animal Farm-like speech to basically reshoot the officers again, and in a way imply that they were killed justifiably. Yes, he did. And then said that the grievances are justifiable of those who backed the shooter. And then he uses this as an excuse to seize guns. There's no end to this man's deviousness. But look, if I spent every day of the rest of this year talking about Obama, I'd be bored and you'd be bored. But the man gets worse by the day, not better. He doesn't just shut his mouth. He doesn't try to bring the races together. Every opportunity he has, he uses to divide us. How can this country survive, the Islamists amongst us, the revolutionaries amongst us, when you have a president who has unified the messaging and the actions, both of the so-called progressives and the Islamists? I try to point this out to you in Government Zero, and apparently I failed. I showed you a seamless unification of progressives and Islamists. And in my forthcoming book, my last nonfiction book, Scorched Earth, I show it definitively how the progressives and Islamists will use violence, as they have been, to bring it down, man.
Whether you are black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or of Middle Eastern descent, we have all seen this bigotry in our own lives at some point.
Yeah, you're really suffering. Yeah, you and Michelle are really suffering. You're really suffering. When did she last abuse Air Force One for another trip with her 72 assistants? When have you last golfed? You're really suffering. Yeah, you're really suffering from racism, Barry. What a con man. I am so glad to read to you the lawsuit by Larry Klayman against him. The lawsuit's really good. In the United States District Court for the Northern District of Texas, Larry Klayman, a natural person and resident of Florida, on behalf of himself and all U.S. police officers, Jews and Caucasians, plaintiffs are Barack Hussein Obama, acting as President of the United States, Louis Farrakhan, a natural person and minister leader of the Nation of Islam, and Eric Holder, a natural person and former Attorney General of the U.S., Covington and Burling LLP, One City Center, 10th Street, Washington, D.C., and Reverend Al Sharpton, a natural person and founder and president of the National Action Network, 106 West 145th Street, Harlem, New York, 10039. And Rashad Turner, a leader of the Black Lives Matter movement, and Opal Tometi, Black Lives Matter Network, and Patrice Cullors, Matter Movement, Black Lives Matter Network, Alicia Garza, BLM, and D. Ray McKesson, a natural person and leader of the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, of course, George Soros will throw millions at this lawsuit. But, you know, a jury just might find that they are inciting violence. It's an interesting lawsuit. I'm going to put it up on my website. And he says, this is a class action complaint for damages and equitable relief arising out of the threats, severe bodily injury and or deaths, future deaths, emotional harm, and imminent fears of death and a serious bodily harm resulting from Black Lives Matter leaders, former Attorney General Eric Holder, President Barack Hussein Obama, Minister Louis Farrakhan, and Reverend Al Sharpton. Those defendants have repeatedly incited their supporters and others to engage in threats of and attacks to cause serious bodily injury or death upon police officers, Jews, and Caucasians. Thus, defendants, each and every one of them jointly and severally, conspiring and are acting in concert either expressly or otherwise, are inciting and causing serious bodily injury or death to police officers and other law enforcement persons of all races and ethnicities, Jews and Caucasians. This is a civil action. I'm reading it because it's very interesting to read this. And he says, members of this class herein, obstruction of justice to prevent the enforcement of civil rights, Bivens relief, assault, and it's amazing. Directing, provoking, and even inciting angry crowds to violence is illegal, as illuminated by the U.S. Supreme Court in Brandenburg versus Ohio, 395 U.S. 444, 1969. Class action status. This class proposed by the plaintiff include all domestic actual and de facto law enforcement officials and persons, police officers, sheriffs and sheriff's deputies, and law enforcement persons of all races and ethnicities, as well as relevant Jews and Caucasians, also threatened and targeted and harmed by the defendant's ignited race war, who reside within the domestic United States. By the way, if you're listening to the show, I'd like every police person and every member of a police family to join this class action lawsuit. Join them, Freedom Watch USA. Join the class. The only thing we're going to do, we're going to have to fight them the way they fight us. The only way they've gotten this far is by using lawyers and courts to basically enslave us with their lies. Tell us that violence is not violence, hatred is not hatred, race division is not race division. And so he names the president, Louis Farrakhan, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Al Sharpton, Rashad Turner, Opal, and the others who you never heard of. And then he names Wise. Why? This is pretty interesting stuff. Larry Klayman is a Florida citizen who was a Caucasian of Jewish origin. Plaintiff Larry Klayman is a part of law enforcement as a former federal prosecutor of the U.S. Department of Justice, as a former public official, as a candidate for U.S. Senate. It's really good stuff. And we believe in the law. And we believe in the courts. And we want to see how this plays out. And I think that Larry Klayman has every right to sue the president and these others for everything he says herein. Let me just read one more line. But the acts alleged herein, defendants, each and every one of them, have incited, committed unlawful acts, including violent riots, assaults, and murders of law enforcement, police, and acts of violence, including seriously bodily injury or death, against police officers and other law enforcement persons of all races and ethnicity, Jews and Caucasians. In a classic form of illegal incitement to imminent violence of an angry mob, the defendants, acting in concert, and each of them are inciting the imminent serious bodily injury and killing of police officers and other law enforcement persons of all races and ethnicities, Jews and Caucasians, by convincing their supporters and others that there is a civil war between blacks and law enforcement, thereby calling for immediate violence and severe bodily injury or death in response to that non-existent and fictitious threat. Defendants, listen carefully, and then Robert, when I finish, play another piece of Mr. Obama's speech at the funeral today. Defendants incite people to violence and cause violence by telling those people that they are under attack. Defendants are encouraging disaffected blacks and black Muslims to ignore, disrespect, and assault law enforcement officials and commit violence and lethal force. The defendants, acting in concert, and each of them have publicly incited people to violence with the fiction that police officers and other law enforcement, including many black and minority police officers, are intentionally and systematically targeting and hunting blacks and other minorities to kill them for no reason other than racism or sport. You know, I normally don't like lawyers and lawsuits, but when they're well written and true, it's the only weapon that we have. So, I mean, I support them. Now, why don't you listen to what Obama did today at a funeral for dead policemen, using it as a weapon, using race again as a weapon and a wedge, again to divide and conquer and try to seize your guns. Listen again.
With an open heart, police departments will acknowledge that just like the rest of us, they're not perfect.
You snake, you.
That insisting we do better to root out racial bias is not an attack on cops.
Okay, stop. I can't listen to it. When I hear the snake go into the hissing, his voice actually changes to that of a serpent. Hissing. You can hear him, and he's mocking, by the way. He knows he's getting over on people with that that way of his. God, when is he ever going to leave the public stage? Will we be cursed for the rest of our lives to see this creature constantly dividing people? When are we going to have healing in this country? Let's see, when Hillary Clinton becomes president, what a healing we're going to have then. She's got some track record. Yeah. So I got this in the email. What are my choices? The folks speaking out against Trump are helping me make up my mind a little more every day. Is he the perfect candidate whose thoughts mirror mine on all fronts? Nope. Does he say everything the way I wish he would say it? Nope. Am I absolutely sure that his motives are absolutely pure? Nope. Can I point to any other Dem politician that I like better? Nope. Is there any of the other Rhino politicians I like better? Nope. Am I going to sit home, refuse to vote, and let Hillary win because he is not perfect? Nope. Do I like what I have seen for the last 7.5 years with the jerk that sleeps in my White House? Nope. Do I like the fundamental changes that same jerk has brought about in my America? Nope. Okay. Your turn to decide what you're going to do in about 4 months. Trump's presidential qualifications. Obama is against Trump. Check. The media are against Trump. Check. The establishment Democrats are against Trump. Check. The establishment Republicans are against Trump. Check. The UN is against Trump. Check. The EU is against Trump. Check. China is against Trump. Check. Mexico is against Trump. Check. Soros is against Trump. Check. Black Lives Matter is against Trump. Check. Move On is against Trump. Check. Koch brothers are against Trump. Check. Bushes are against Trump. Check. Planned Parenthood is against Trump. Check. Hillary and Bernie are against Trump. Check. Illegal aliens are against Trump. Check. Islam is against Trump. Check. Kasich is against Trump. Check. Hateful, racist, violent liberals are against Trump. Check. Now that being said, it seems to me Trump must be the best qualified candidate we could ever have. If you have so many political insiders and left-wing nutcases all scared to death that they all speak out against them at the same time, most of all, it will be the people's choice. Plus, he's not a lifetime politician. Check. He's not a lawyer. Check. He's not doing it for the money. Check. He's a natural-born American citizen born in the USA from American parents. Whoopi says she will leave the country. Check. Rosie says she will leave the country. Check. Sharpton says he will leave the country. Cher says she will leave the country. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights will prevail. The budget will be balanced in 8 years. Americans will have first choice of jobs. You will not be able to marry your pet. You will be able to keep your guns if you qualify. Only living, registered U.S. citizens will be able to vote. You will have to show ID to vote. You can have and keep your own doctor. You can say whatever you want without being called a racist, Islamophobic, xenophobic, etc. Trump will make America great again. Come to think of it, we have no place to go but up. I don't know who wrote it, but it's pretty good, and it's simple. And it's a little change from complex. It's simple. Now you. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. You're listening to Michael Savage. And we've been talking about the revolution going on in the United States of America and the chief revolutionary who is fomenting racial division or racial hatred in this country with the big lie. And as you well know, Goebbels, who was Hitler's minister of propaganda, said, if you repeat a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. What we have seen with Black Lives Matter is the big lie repeated over and over and over again, because even the liberal and analysts who have studied the actual data say it's a big lie. And I read you some of the data on the actual myths that the Black Lives Matter agitators are putting out there. The rates that, of blacks being killed by cops is much lower than they say, and that fatal police shootings make up a much larger proportion of white and Hispanic homicide deaths than black homicide deaths. According to the Post, that's the Washington Post, you know, the right-wing Washington Post. In 2015, officers killed 662 whites and Hispanics and 258 blacks. The overwhelming majority of all those police shooting victims were attacking the officer often with a gun. Now, you can read it yourself. And the fact of the matter is, it's all a big lie. It's just a giant propaganda lie fomented by these revolutionaries who would like to take over the government and the media people. Now, I have for you an interesting soundbite. The first black Miss Alabama actually called a Dallas cop killer a martyr. Did you hear this one? You got to play it right now, Robert. No, listen to this. Kaylin Chapman James, who was crowned Miss Alabama, first black Miss Alabama in 1993, the first black woman to hold a title, is sparking outrage after describing the Dallas cop killer as a martyr. Listen to 01.
I'm just reaching out to everybody because I'm just leaving church. And I prayed a lot about everything that's happened this week. And I can't stop replaying the image of these men being killed in my mind, and my heart weeps. But I think more than anything, I'm dealing with a bit of guilt because I don't feel sad for the officers that lost their lives, and I know that that's really not my heart. I value human life, and I want to feel sad for them, but I can't help but feeling like the shooter was a martyr.
Shooter was a martyr. The panty sniffer who shot the cops in the back after the cops were led into an ambush by the Black Lives Matter thugs. Right down a shooting gallery. No investigation by the Department of Justice as to how the Black Lives Matter group led them down that shooting gallery, whether there was a sharing of information of the route upon which they would be leading the mobs and setting up the shooter. How did he know where they would be going? How did he know where to hide to shoot them? And where were the other three shooters that we heard about initially? Do you actually believe one man did all of this? That the cops couldn't have turned around and killed him within 30 minutes? Where were the other three shooters that disappeared? Am I supposed to buy this one like I bought the fact that the Supreme Court justice died with a pillow over his head from natural causes and there was no autopsy and they dumped his body into an incinerator as quickly as they could, so there was no autopsy permitted when a bum in the street... They find a bum in the streets of San Francisco. They, by law, must perform an autopsy. Where was the outrage and the outcry about that when the Supreme Court Justice Scalia was found dead in a seedy motel on the Mexican border? You talk about, wow, a touch of evil. I suggest another movie tonight set in the border town of Mexico. Great Orson Welles movie, A Touch of Evil. Great movie. No outrage, no investigation, nothing. Just in time for Obama to bring forth his immigration and gun control messages, attempts to seize your guns and flood us with illegals. 4-4, no longer do we have that one lone vote on our side. Died under suspicious circumstances, no outrage, no discussion, no autopsy and no investigation. Hillary Clinton lies about the emails. He's given a pass by the FBI director who has deep ties to a bank that's tied to the Clinton Foundation. No investigation by the media. Again, we're living in a banana republic. Now you understand why I was nominated to the Radio Hall of Fame. You don't have to like my politics to understand why I was nominated by my listeners, do you? You have any idea why? No support from anyone in the media. No support from anyone in the conservative radio cartel. But the listeners themselves were given the opportunity to vote for the number one champion of them on Borders, Language, and Culture. And they chose yours truly, Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We have only a few minutes left. 1 minute. New York City, WABC, where I want to thank my listeners for making the show the number one day part radio show on that station. Genevieve, line one, thanks for calling. What's your point?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you. I'm just calling. I heard you mention this lawsuit, and I am so relieved as a sister of a police officer in Harlem, New York, to know that someone has the courage to bring a lawsuit against those who would destroy the law and those who represent it. It's just a relief for me. I'm not excited because it should never come to this, but I am relieved. And I
hear you. That's right. It's a terribly sad day that we have to sue the president, Al Sharpton, Black Lives Matter, and all of the others for inciting violence against police. But it's only in the courts that we're going to stop them, if anywhere else. Thank you, Genevieve. Thank you for listening on WABC. And thanks to the rest of you for being with me. I'll be back in a few minutes to bring you up to date on all of the other goings-on in Barry's America, right here on the Savage Nation.
Goodbye. And- And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As a society, we choose to underinvest in decent schools. We allow poverty to fester so that entire neighborhoods offer no prospect for gainful employment. We refuse to fund drug treatment and mental health programs.
Liar.
We flood communities with so many guns that it is easier for a teenager to buy a Glock.
I can't take it. The hater was at his peak today at a funeral for Dallas police officers slain by a black man. He went into a litany of hatred. That's a new high for him, or a new low, depending on what you think of him. And then he, of course, launched into the real gleam in his eye is to seize your guns. I could ask you a question about it. Do you think it was appropriate for him to do this during a funeral? I don't. I think it was not only not appropriate, I think he should be, ashamed of himself. The man has no shame. He was schooled with no shame by his mother, by the communists who raised him. They schooled him to steel himself, to have no shame for what he has done to this country. Here's an unrelated story that is a little alarming from Heat Street. Came out 8 a.m. today. Beloved DNC staffer Seth Rich shot dead in the back in D.C. just hours after calling for Dallas unity. Conspiracy theories abound. I couldn't believe this story. A young idealist who worked for the Democrat National Committee was murdered early Sunday as he walked home in the Bloomingdale neighborhood in affluent northwest Washington, D.C. Seth Rich was shot multiple times, including twice in the back. His mother, Mary Rich, told the local NBC station that her son was found with bruises on his face, knees and hands, signs that he fought for his life. According to Mary Rich, Seth was talking on the phone with his girlfriend at the time of the attack, and she heard noise on his end of the line. He told her not to worry about it. They never took anything, she said, of her son's mysterious murder. As recently as this Friday, Rich had taken to Twitter to call for peace and unity following the racially charged Dallas massacre Thursday night. He wrote, "I reiterate back to people, stop hating each other, too much pain to process. We have to be better and defend each other more. True, a life is exponentially valuable. I have family and friends on both sides of the law. Please stop killing each other." Wonder who did it. Affluent neighborhood? Nothing stolen from him? Killed by killers? No one knows who did it. So people are writing stuff like possible whistleblower on Democratic Party fraud, assassinated in Washington, D.C., not in mainstream media. Who knows? Someone said this is some straight-up house of cards. You know what? It's a terrible story. He was up there trying to bring people together, and someone killed him, shooting him in the back. It made it to the Daily Mail. It made it to the Epic Times. It made it to NBC4 Washington. Yeah, let's read the Daily Mail one. All lives didn't matter when Seth Rich was shot and killed in Northwest D.C. That's an interesting statement. Who wrote that one? I thought this was going to be the Daily Mail article. Hashtag all lives didn't matter when Seth Rich was shot and killed. Well, you don't know who killed him. I can't make this a racial thing. He was a Democratic National Committee staffer who worked for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So we're living through incendiary times. And we have a race-baiting fearmonger in the White House, along with others who are race-baiting fearmongers, trying to foment revolution in the country, and thinking that they can fool all the people all the time. They are mistaken. Oh, my friends, what do you want to do about that? How do you feel about the choice of words that your president used during the funeral today in Dallas? Is there anyone on KLIF in Dallas who has anything to say? Anyone who was at that funeral? What was the feeling like in the audience as the president used the funerals of five dead cops to foment hatred and push his agenda? Jeff on WMAL in Washington, what's your comment, please?
As a 30-year veteran of law enforcement, I think it was pathetic and sinful. And those that maybe were dismayed or did not want to hear his rhetoric, you can't get up and walk out because you have to show the respect for the five officers that they're mourning. He knew he had a captive audience. And Dr. Savage, I think it was an atrocity what he did, how he spoke, pushing his agenda, knowing that they would have to sit and listen.
So the cops had no choice. They couldn't turn their backs on him because it would have been disrespectful for the dead?
Absolutely, sir. There have been times at other jurisdictions where some officers said, remember in New York when the two officers were executed, some of the New York City officers stood up and turned their back. And don't you remember how the media chastised them and belittled them when they did it to de Blasio?
Yeah. I remember. Oh, yeah, the vermin in the media. I remember. Yeah, you know, here's the thing about the vermin in the media, the libs who like to be out with the hipsters at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. The next time they're about to be mugged, raped, or killed, and they have about 13 seconds to dial a number on their little on their phones, here's their choice. Would they dial 911 for someone in blue, or would they call the ACLU?
Absolutely, they're going to dial 911. And you know what? Even though there are times those officers want to say, I'm not going to respond. I never worked with one that didn't stop, hesitate, and run towards the problem.
Well, maybe they ought to stop, hesitate, and not run towards the problem anymore. Maybe if there's a slowdown, the hipsters who are out 3 in the morning enjoying the protections of the police will come to their senses after they are attacked by the very people that they think that they love so much.
I understand what you're saying, sir, but that's not why we signed up and joined the job.
I understand, but you don't have to give your life for your job. No one's asking you to sacrifice your life for in a twisted society. I mean, it's one thing to be a peace officer. It's another thing to commit suicide.
But at the same time, sir, you don't want anyone else to get hurt and possibly lose their life. And that's the hard part about that job. You always want to help people.
I want to know how a cop can jump in a thing like this when the minute he does, you've got vermin lawyers like this William Burris here in San Francisco, Oakland, who the minute the police in San Francisco or Oakland do their job, this profiteering piece of garbage jumps in and sues the police departments and has made tens of millions of dollars off this. And the same exists in every city in this country. You've got a professional class of rats and pirates who attack police departments no matter what they do.
I agree with you there. The only thing I can say, sir, from my years' experience, is you have to shrug that one off, because the next time that you get a call for service, you're helping someone else, and you have to take it like a new case and start all over with a clean slate and do your job. And that's the tough part.
Well, you know what? You're a better man than I am, because if I were wearing blue, I wouldn't put my life on the line. Not if I'm going to be disrespected and possibly killed. And then if I do my job, I'm going to be arrested or lose my job. That every piece of garbage in the street that I bring down is going to be turned up into a martyr and a man on his way to medical school. All of a sudden, they're all going to medical school. Everyone who's caught in the police incident. They're all going to be a doctor or a lawyer to save America. How could you take this? This is not the America. This is not the America you enlisted in. To serve. This is a different America. It's been perverted by this president of ours. He's twisted everything. All that is good, he's made bad, and all that is bad, he's made good. I can't say anymore other than I respect you enormously, and I'll be right back in the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, there's other news out there. Jeb Bush attacked Trump and basically blamed everyone for losing other than his own weakness. And he started with clip 2, where he blames the Pope for having lost the primaries. Let's listen to Mr. Bush in clip 2.
The Pope intervening in American politics? I mean, talking about basically open borders at a time when the whole Trump phenomena was to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. He goes to northern to the border for a massive mass, and he had every right to preach the gospel there, but I don't think he should be intervening. I don't know if he understood that he was intervening in our political affairs.
You mean the way Obama intervened in the British political affairs? The way all the New Worlders crossed borders to push their one world agenda, Jeb, something that you would know a lot about, given that your family's been in the one-world business for a long time now. And then It gets more interesting later on in the wall and Muslim ban in clip four. Listen to this one.
Trump, you know, to his credit, was very smart at exploiting these kind of opportunities. He's a master at understanding how the media works, more than anybody I've ever seen in politics. Kudos for him for kind of creating the environment and then manipulating the environment to his effect. The tragedy of this, though, is that there isn't going to be a wall built, and Mexico's not going to pay for it, and there's not going to be a ban on Muslims. None of that is, this is all like a alternative universe that he created.
How does he know there's not going to be a wall? How does he know Muslims are not going to be banned? How? Does he know something we don't know? Now, again, I have to say that I was told yesterday that Donald Trump will be on the show on Thursday. I have not been able to confirm that today. I think that's the opening day of the convention, Thursday. Maybe they change it. Who knows? I'll still vote for him. The only reason I might not is if he picks Newt Gingrich, and even then I'll probably vote for him. Newt Gingrich is like skin cancer to me. I despise the man. I think he's the biggest opportunist in the history of the Republican Party. It'd be a disaster for Donald Trump to pick an opportunist like Newt. Secondly, Newt's old news. We don't want old news. We don't want a career politician. We want somebody new. Look, Trump represents something new. Speaking of VPs, let's talk about it for a minute. He represents new, not establishment politics, right? Check that. Isn't that why you went crazy for him during the primaries? He needs to pick somebody that we haven't seen on the political stage. Not an old hack, self-aggrandizing guy like Newt. And the general would be a great pick. Great General Flynn would be fabulous. Fabulous. The best possible choice would be General Flynn. Another choice would be a female war veteran, but apparently she dropped out. She was terrific. She dropped out soon after being mentioned. I don't know what that's about. Maybe she didn't want the job. Anybody but a career politician. What if he picked Ted Cruz as VP? What would happen then? You know what's ironic here? What really worries me? Again, I'm going to vote for him. I'm giving, you know, put me through the litmus test, the loyalty oath. You know, all of you cyber warriors. Do you know who is now running Donald Trump's campaign? Ted Cruz's former campaign manager. Did you know that? Did you know that the people who got him where he is are gone? Lewandowski out. Ted Cruz people in. It's amazing how these things work. Just, it's like a house of, it's like a, but I'll vote for him because the opposition is just, I don't want a third term of Barack Obama in a skirt. And everything Obama cannot complete, she will complete. We'll be serfs in our own country, social and psychic serfs in this nation, if she should win. We can't let that happen. And if you were to ask me, but no one's asked me, but if you ask me who's going to win, unless there's something very unexpected that happens or that they can flood illegals into the voting booths, and I hope that they don't get away with that, I hope that many of us become watchmen, voter watchmen, and we report irregularities of people being bussed in to vote numerous times, or like in Florida, the people from Florida and New York who vote in both Florida and New York, as they're well known to do. You see, the commies will do things like that. Or the illegal aliens are bussed from pole to pole without ID. Without that, I think that Trump wins by a large margin. I don't know about a landslide right now, but I think by a margin sufficient to win with a nice solid victory. I'm not going to say landslide anymore because her machine is too powerful. Since she just got away with the email scandal because she owns the system and owns the media, and because the attacks upon Trump are relentless, they take the slightest mole on Trump's rump and they turn it into a mountain. And they take the mountains of corruption and lies that surround Hillary and they don't even make them into moles. You talk about making a mountain out of a molehill and a mole out of a mole out of a mountain. It's unbelievable to me. If he sneezes, they hear racism in it. If she commits perjury, they don't even hear it. So he's got the media against him, but, you know, hey, he's got the people on his side. Most of the people in America who work and pay taxes will vote for Trump. They're afraid of her, rightly so. They are afraid of Obama and more racial division, rightly so. They're afraid of the corruption, rightly so. They're afraid of the crime, rightly so. They're afraid of stuffing and the Clinton Foundation money. They're afraid of foreign influence of our elections, rightly so. And so I know many Democrats hate her. I've heard it from them. They can't believe that she's their only choice. They're sick. But then they say, I'm not going to vote for Trump under any condition. I'm not so sure of that. I think that they're just saying it. I think that when they go in that voting booth, they're not going to vote for her. They're going to hold their nose and they're going to put the thing through the Republican Trump side for the first time in their lives and tell nobody they did it. They're going to leave the voting booth and they're going to say they voted for her, or they didn't vote at all, or they voted for all the other issues but not for him. But they're going to be lying. Because I think after seeing the riots that Obama and the Democrats are fomenting before the Republican National Convention, and after seeing the charade of a multi-tier justice system in this country, as evidenced by Hillary getting away with what she got away with last week, and with not even being sworn in by the FBI director, no records, no transcripts, it's like a banana republic. I think they're terrified of the meltdown of law and order in this country. And as I said 2 weeks ago, Donald Trump is the law and order candidate. I suggested right on this show, if you remember, he should run as a law and order candidate, and he did so the other day. So even though he doesn't appear on the show, I know that someone is assigned to listen to me on a regular basis. As Salon Magazine said, I'm the godfather of Trumpomania in this country. In many ways, it's true. My ideas from my many books have been appropriated into campaign points, and I think that that's great. It's why I support him, because he's espousing much of what I believe. Borders, language, culture. And what is she espousing? No borders, a Tower of Babel, and step on our culture. There is no culture. She is the opposite of everything I believe in. So what choice do I have? What choice do the American people who still want a nation have? Tell me what the choice is. Do you want more illegal aliens pouring in from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, many of whom are diseased? Do I have to say Zika, measles, TB? Because it's true. Do you think we need more Muslim men of military age from Syria being brought into this country, or none? I mean, make a choice. Try to be reasonable. That's what you have to do.
Join the Savage Nation. Call.
Extra here, all about it. NASA is spending $73,000 on unconscious bias training. You know about diversity training, don't you? This is the most disgusting thing that's ever been foisted on the American people. I had to go through it 20 years ago at our local radio station. It was the most disgusting, racist group of people I've ever seen in my life, lecturing everybody in the radio station about diversity and how wonderful diversity is. Now, it's bad enough that they do it in the media. And now take a look at the result of all of that, who's running the media and who speaks in the media. Take a look at it. It's really worked out real well on the universities, hasn't it? Well, now listen to this, how perverse this has become. They've now penetrated NASA, and they're going to brainwash astronauts on racism and race. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration is spending at least $73,000 to teach astronauts about diversity, their unconscious biases, and how to use their privilege. So they're taking the cream of the crop, the best of the best, the toughest and brightest, the most self-constrained and self-controlled amongst us, and they're bringing in low-life vermin to teach them about diversity. Instead of you don't understand why things are collapsing in this country when you have such low mentalities going to the highest reaches of government and twisting their minds about white privilege and bias. How'd they become an astronaut, moron? By burning and looting and beating people up? Or by suppressing their id? By suppressing their desires? By learning to wait for rewards? By studying till late hours of the night? By excelling at both physical and mental tasks? For many years, they can become an astronaut. And you got these fools being forced to get diversity training in there, to have astronauts study about their, quote, unconscious biases and how to use their privilege. So NASA is now being forced to add a new curriculum in this communist America to its, quote, diversity dialogue project. And it's hired a group of outside agitators to hold, quote, regularly scheduled dialogue sessions about inclusion. it's beyond comprehension what happens when you have a deranged government. The Ivy Planning Group, a training firm of racists, in my opinion, received $73,000 to deliver four sessions lasting 4 hours each, wasting their time at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland and the Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia. Do you realize what time they wasted with our best and brightest, letting them listen to this gibberish, this racist gibberish? The curriculum seeks to develop a deeper understanding of diversity issues among center employees. The training will emphasize enhancing personal growth and effectiveness through the processes of listening, introspection, finding meaning, and building acceptance for differing perspectives. The goal of the Diversity Dialogue Project is to, quote, create change at Goddard through individual participants' shift in thinking, attitudes, and behavior to promote greater respect and inclusion in the workplace. Now, I'm all for inclusion if the included are of excellent background. Oh, I'm all for inclusion. If they're as good as everyone else or better, hey, go for it. I've said this many times. I'm a graduate of the University of California at Berkeley, which became almost all Chinese because they study harder. They work harder. They put aside their ids because they're was drilled into them by their mothers, the tiger mothers, to succeed or die, fall by the wayside. They were not out gangbanging the Chinese. They were out studying. And so they were so good at the SATs and at getting A's that based strictly on grades and SATs, more Chinese were admitted than any other. So then the race police came along. You know, the race police who believe in diversity. You know them, don't you? And the race police said, sorry, too many Chinese are winning. So let's change the rules again. So they capped the number of Chinese that could enter the University of California at Berkeley. I'm not making any of this up. So you know this whole thing about inclusion is a lie. You understand that. It's not about promoting the best and the brightest of any race. It's about pushing one particular group of people over all others, even if they're unqualified and morons. That's what it's all about. If they're stupid, it doesn't matter. Just push them ahead. That's all you have to do. That explains why the Chinese were pushed aside at the University of California and everywhere else. So this is not about inclusion. This is about stupidity. And I hope that when Donald Trump becomes president, not only will diversity training be eliminated in all federal branches of government, but they will investigate all those in diversity training and see where they got their money from, who steered the contracts, and where the money went. That's all. Okay. Now, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to hear about all of this today? What a day it's been. I'm taking a day off tomorrow for a number of reasons. I'll be back Thursday when the convention starts. Brian Sussman will be filling in for me from the morning show on KSFO. But I need a day off to reflect on the prize, the winning of the prize, about my forthcoming and last nonfiction book, Scorched Earth. I need time. I just need a little time to reflect. I'm not going anywhere. My vacation is not going anywhere. But we are living through very, very turbulent times. These are very perplexing times. They're not easy. Only the ignorant would think these are easy times to live through. You look around the white suburbs, you don't know what world they live in. Walk around like bland, nothing. They don't know what's going on. They put their daughters out in bikinis at age 4 to sell lemonade on a street corner in a white suburb. 4, 5, 6. In a bikini, they put them out. In a bikini, little children, they put them out in the streets to sell lemonade. The poor little girls are not even, don't even know the world that they're living in, what world they're growing up in. Where are the dumb mothers, the ditzy mothers in the suburbs? Where are they? Do they not know what world they're in, what danger they're putting their children in? The mothers are drugged. The fathers are drugged. They walk around with the shorts and the shoes. They look like their 8-year-old son. I don't know what to say. The father should be a role model, not his friend. Where did it come to the father supposed to be the friend of the son? It's okay if you get along, but you're not supposed to be a friend. You're supposed to be a mentor. Supposed to raise your son like a father, not like a friend. Why do the fathers all try to become 6 years old again? Where does it say that the father's supposed to be a friend? Friend. It's nice if you're friendly and get along, but that's not a father's role. Father's role is instruction, guidance, control. Oh, I used a weird word, control. How do you like that? Oh, you're a controlling patriarch. Horrible thing to be, isn't it? To teach your son right and wrong. Now look at the ghettos. Oh, I'm sorry, the inner cities, or whatever you call them today. Take a look at what's going on. No fathers. The poor mothers are trying to do the best they can. The single mothers. Why? There's no fathers. And look what the sons become, so many of them. Look what they become without a father to control them, teach them right from wrong, slap them around when they get out of line, if that's what they need. Nothing. No fathers. And look what you have. You have a melting society. You want a little diversity? You want a dialogue project? You want to talk about inclusion? I just gave it to you. I don't know my number. What's this about sex now? Where'd he come from? Mike on KSFO line 8. I don't know. This is a great call. What's this call about? Go ahead, please.
So you were talking earlier about this old guys, old people having sex in their home, in the rest homes. And I was wondering why. And I was thinking, I'm like 76 years old, and when I stopped, you know, when I no longer had the urge, like, with, you know, the aid of those drugs and so forth, I've had the most peaceful time in my life, because it's just kind of a natural event, not to force things, you know.
And why do I hear bells in the background? Are you riding a sleigh or something with horses?
Running a pencil around a piece of glass, anyway.
I thought you were on a sled with bells. I thought it was like Dr. Zhivago. I didn't know where you were calling from.
I didn't know.
So you're saying that when your sex drive diminishes, it's a time of peace in your life.
Yeah, you know, it's a time to knock it off. You know, why use all those drugs and lying?
Well, you know, I happen to have something to say about that, as usual. I'm a talk show host, so I'm very opinionated on every issue in the world. A lot of older men are taking not only Viagra, but they're taking low doses of testosterone. Long after their libido has left them alone, they're inciting their libido to rise again, so to speak. I don't know why they're doing that. The reason that nature has the testosterone levels of males drop off as they get older is for a specific reason. And frankly, when you start charging your body again with testosterone, external doses of testosterone, you're actually increasing your risk of cancer. Do you know that?
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. That's what I was thinking. And I think most,
in other words, as we get older, our immune system starts to become sleepier, to put it in common parlance. And the cancer cells become a little more active as we get older. And so the last thing you want to do is upset that very delicate balance that nature has created for older people. And the worst thing you could possibly do is start throwing drugs into your system that affect the hormonal equilibrium of the body, in my opinion. In that sense, I'm very naturopathic.
Well, I'd agree with that, for sure.
So you don't believe that there should be an encouragement of sex in old age homes?
No, not at all.
You know? Well, they claim that they're finding love for the first time in the elevators. I don't know how that works. What's wrong with older people having sex if they want to do it? That's what I'm asking you.
If they want to do it, it's fine. You know, if they're forced through the social pressures or just you know, the brainwashing that goes on for you got to have a woman or you got to have a man, I think it's wrong, man.
Well, what do you do?
You know, just if I usually the dreams take care of it every once, you know, once every 2 or 3 months.
Hmm. The dreams, you mean like when you were a young boy?
Yeah, right. You know, you get the dream, and that's actually the best sex I've ever had.
What are you talking about? Are you referring to a nocturnal emission?
Yes, right.
Oh, so you still do have that?
Oh, yeah. I've got every once in a while, but it's not, like, not forced. You know, like 2 months will go by, and then I'll have an exotic dream, or erotic dream, I should say, and I'm fine.
Yeah, as long as they are not neurotic dreams, I guess you're okay.
Well, who knows?
I have neurotic dreams. If I eat too much at night, I have not erotic but neurotic dreams. People chasing me. Horrible things happening. So, you know, we got to be very careful with all of these things. Mike, are you still married?
No, my wife died about 20 years ago.
And you never had sex after that?
Yeah, for a couple of times, you know, during that period of transition, I guess. And then I just found out there was just too much power plays with when you put sex in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the drama, the manipulation.
Yeah, all the drama.
And it wasn't worth the small payoff, the petite mort.
Not at all. I had the love of my life, so, you know.
Oh, so you see, you were still in love with your wife. That's the issue. and I'm saying, so nobody could ever replace her in your heart, which is a beautiful thing, but it wasn't so much just that you don't want sex. I think you're still in love with your deceased wife, don't you think?
Right. Well, I guess so. You know, I mean, well, I'll always be in love with my wife. You know,
it's a beautiful story. I mean, this is like a love story, what I'm hearing on the show today. I never expected this. It's certainly a nice change from the hatred that's coming out of the president and all the president's men. Mike, since you're a lovely guy, I'm going to send you a copy of Teddy and Me. It's a book that you will probably enjoy, and I'm sure will not lead to any erotic dreams, because it's about a 10-pound poodle. There's nothing provocative in the book. It's all meant for having nice dreams. Unbelievable. Stay on the line, Mike. We'll send you that book. Unbelievable. I'm going to go back to the other stuff. I can't do it. Now, why do the Chinese do so well, and they don't need diversity training? Why do the Chinese do so well in school? Why? I know why. I mean, you have to study why. Why did the Chinese get into these great schools without the help of affirmative action is the real question. How come they don't need a special, you know, help to get into the schools? What, someone helped them all of a sudden? How do they do it? Well, they work hard. They study hard. They repress their ids. Remember id? Oh, I know Freud's dead, but I still read Freud. I still love Freud's writings. They repress their pleasure principle. They put off until tomorrow their reward system. They're trained to withhold the need for instant gratification. In other words, statistically, they're smarter than most people. That makes up for smarter. It raises your IQ to repress your impulses and to control yourself and to study. That raises your IQ inherently. But I don't know, are there inherent IQs? You know, this is a very tough question. And in fact, I'm not even going to go there for one reason, because a former Nobel Prize winner, one of the greatest of all time, Mr. Watson, who was one of the discoverers of the double helix, who was at the time the leader of the Cold Spring Harbor Research Institute, dared say once one thing about race and IQ. Do you know that they fired him? One of our greatest minds of our nation was fired from Cold Spring Harbor for daring to say that IQ is distributed unequally according to races. Oh, well, look it up, because I'm not going to repeat it here, but they fired him. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY. All right, the big news of the day is the outrage of Obama's making jokes today at the funeral for the five slain officers. Daily Caller just says Obama mentions himself 45 times during memorial speech for Dallas officers. The man is a shame, a walking shame of a human being. Never mind he's a bad president or a communist. That's bad enough, but he's a shame. He's just a shameful man with no character. 45 times about him, telling cracking jokes about Stevie Wonder when he walks in like the comedian, the big comedian. What does he think he is, Larry David? Anyway, it's sickening. And that's where we are today. We've talked about many things, mainly the revolutionary movements that Obama has fueled, the racism that's at an all-time peak, it's only going to get worse, the Black Panthers, who should be stopped before they get there by the federal government. They're going there with guns, loaded weapons, and the federal government is not going to protect the Republicans there. I fear for the worst, because bikers are going to be there protecting the people at the RNC. And some really tough people are going to protect those people. It's going to be horrible, but Obama wants this. Burn, baby, burn. Divide and conquer. Bring it all down, girl. Here it is, my friends.